All right, the recorder is on, and let's see. All right, it looks like we are probably in the middle of NTI Romans chapter 11. And in my book, we're on page 276. We're starting with verses 22 to 24. Are you guys also 276?
277.
277 in the paperback. All right. Your nature is your truth, and I am your nature. Do not fear when you go off into fantasies and seem to forget that I am here. I am still here, even if you do not remember me. I am with you always, because I am where you desire me to be. I have not been rejected. You have not rejected me, nor have you ever rejected me, or will you ever reject me. You know that I am your desire, and so I am not rejected. And as such, you truly have not rejected the whole. I am here by your true will. I'd like everybody, if you don't mind, just take a moment to notice your tongue. Just feel your tongue in your mouth for a second. Kind of pay attention to it for a second. Unfortunately, this happened to me while I was talking. I started noticing my tongue, and it made it harder to talk. Because our tongue is always here. But are we always paying attention to it? I mean, how much of the day are you aware of your tongue? But is it there? That's what Holy Spirit is saying. Holy Spirit is saying, I'm always here. You're not always aware. You're not always thinking about me, you know, but I'm always here. And the reason I'm always here is because at the core of your being, that's where you want me. You want me here, right? And so that's something that we can just trust, just like our tongue is here. Just don't think about it while you're trying to talk. It actually does make it harder to talk. If you become aware of your tongue while you're talking, it's a little more difficult.
But I heard it when you...
When I became aware?
When you started having trouble, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, but your tongue is always here, and it always does its job, right? Same thing with the swallowing of saliva, right? That goes on all day long, and you very seldom notice it. Occasionally we all choke, I think. But you very seldom notice it. And that's, you know, there's a number of other things that just happen. Your breathing. You know, we all notice our breathing sometimes, but it goes on so much of the time when we're not noticing it, right? So the fact that we're not aware of something is in no way indication that it's not present, right? In no way. So Spirit is saying, I am always here, and I'm always here because that's where you want me. Pardon?
Comforting.
Comforting. The whole of you is safe in your mind through me. Nothing has been lost. I have kept it whole for you. I am all things, and I am you. In accepting me, you accept all things, and you accept you also. In accepting me, you accept God, which is to accept all reality. Because you have not rejected me, you have not rejected reality. Reality is for you, and you have kept it as it is in your heart for you also. For you know your truth, and you love your truth. Your truth is beyond rejection, because your truth is you. And again, if we remember that our truth is isness, right? Just being, existence. We know our truth is always here, but it's true that we're not always paying attention to it, right? But do we want that truth, isness? I mean, do you want isness? Yeah, you don't even have to think about it. You don't have to walk around saying, I want isness, I want isness. It's such a core want that you don't even have to think about wanting it, right?
I'm not sure I've experienced it enough to know the value that I put on it.
Well, what I mean by that, let's put it in simple terms. Instead of purism, because I think that's what you're talking about, just don't you want to be, to exist?
It goes back to I am.
Yeah, I am. Right. Even, you know, I even sometimes wonder, now I've never been one that has contemplated suicide, but I often wonder if there isn't some kind of a thought in the suicidal thought that is still an isness thought. You know, like, I want to be nothing so that I don't have to put up with this anymore. But there's still a be that, you know, like, I don't know that we can let go of wanting to be. You know, maybe I want to escape, and I think being nothing will make me happy.
How can you not be?
You can't. That's what I say. It's such a core want that we don't even have to think about wanting it. Mm-hmm. It's our nature. That's how this whole thing started out. It's our nature, right? All right, let's go to NTI Romans chapter 12. Rest within the assurance of yourself, for nothing has ever been lost. Your truth is as pure and bright as always, because your truth is safe with me. To know your truth, accept me as your light, and let your shadows grow dim. Ask for nothing except ask for me. Accept me into your body. Accept me as your mind. Realize the beauty and glory of you. Now, what I hear in this paragraph is a request that we surrender to Holy Spirit, which is really surrendering to our true self. And what's really interesting to me is sentence 5, ask for nothing except ask for me. So that's a total surrender, where instead of thinking about, I want the red convertible, and I want, you know, a relationship, and I want, you know, this, and I want that. Instead of thinking about all of that, what Spirit is saying is, just want me. And the reason Spirit is asking us to just want me is because Spirit already knows that all those other things aren't going to bring us that level of satisfaction, that level of fullness. Spirit knows there's only one thing that's going to bring us that satisfaction, and that's realizing our truth. And so Spirit is guiding us to let go of all of the other wantings, which are, you know, just kind of like chasing our tail. Because, you know, even when you get the red convertible, you know, then pretty soon you want something else, right? So you're always chasing your tail. Spirit is asking us to ask for the one thing that is going to make us completely, fully satisfied, contented, happy. And then if we have a red convertible, we have a red convertible. And if we don't, we don't, right? I mean, somehow life goes on, but seek that which is going to make you always happy no matter what, you know? So Spirit says, stop asking for everything. Not because we're bad if we're asking for other things. Spirit just knows that's not the answer. So we're being guided to ask for the one thing that really is the answer. The body that you are, and this, of course, he's talking to our belief, right, that we're this body. The body that you are is within me also. For what is in your mind is in my mind. So there he's really saying in the second sentence that the body's actually in our mind. It's not really what we are. We share one mind and we share one body. We are not different, but the same. I am our glory because I am our truth. I am our fullness. I am our plan. Release yourself to me and know you have released yourself to your true purpose, which is the purpose of wholeness, of fullness, and of one. See what I do with our body, for I will use it to show you that we are beyond the body. I will use it to guide you back to your truth, which is where I am. So it is where you are also. So again, we're being asked to surrender. Another thought that came to my mind was to be that empty vessel, so that, you know, God, Holy Spirit, can fill this vessel and move this vessel. You know, he's saying, find out what I will do with the body, right? Just completely turn it over to me. But what's going to happen if we completely turn that body over to Holy Spirit is we're going to learn who we are, because we are the Holy Spirit. You know, when people imagine surrendering fully, they imagine sacrifice because they imagine that Spirit is not what they are, and they're having to give up who they are and what they want in order to surrender to Spirit. And Spirit's saying that's not true. And the way you're going to find out that's not true is by surrendering and finding out that we're one, and that everything that I desire, you know, you desire, that there's just no separation in who we are. The way that I move you, you're going to be so fulfilled that you're going to realize that we're one. But it's easy to sit back in a non-surrendered spot and imagine that it's going to be a sacrifice. Imagine that God doesn't want what I want. There's got to be a difference here, and I'm going to have to give up what I want. And but see, that's sitting back in an imagining. He's saying, come on, try it. Come and see. You know, you know, I'm someone that's been pretty surrendered for a number of years now. Let's see, 9 years, I think. And it is true that my life has gone in a different direction than the direction I had it plotted out in. That is true. But there hasn't been anything that is not my will asked of me. I maybe didn't know it was my will. I'd never thought of it. Like, I never thought of writing the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. You know, like, I wasn't fantasizing about that. It wasn't on my 5-year plan. But when this body was moved that way by Spirit, yes, of course that was my will, right? Of course I wanted to do the same thing with Inner Ramana. I never thought of that. In fact, I did think that I wanted nothing to do with Indian gurus. I was prejudiced against Indian gurus. But then when it happened, I mean, that's when I told you guys before I started the recording, that's when I noticed myself, my real self, for the first time was during that experience with Inner Ramana. So it's true that it's not going to be what we think we want, but it's not true that it's not our will, right? Because it is our will, and we become more fulfilled and happier as we surrender and let Spirit move us. And it's always our will, the way that we're moved. Let's see. I guess we're starting with sentence 11. Our truth is our mind, and our mind is whole. You are looking at a part of our mind and thinking that is you. That is only a fraction of what you are. And so you do not know you are whole, but you are whole. Let me guide the fraction, that it may be opened unto itself and discover what it has always known. Let it see it is not a part, but it is whole.
That's beautiful.
You like that?
Yeah.
Love yourself. In loving yourself, you love your brother, for we are one. This kind of reminds me of a couple of weeks ago I was in Santa Barbara, and the name of the event was An Intimate Weekend with Regina. And I chose not to plan in advance what I was going to do, so when I got there, everything was very spontaneous. But when I got there and I was facing this group of people, without a plan, the first thing that came to my mind was the name of the event. And I said, you know, this is an intimate weekend with Regina. And I said, the only way I can figure out how to do that is to bring you into my heart. But as I bring you into my heart, I bring you into your heart. And that's what this is saying. This is saying that as we love our self, our capital S self, we are also loving our brother, because they're the same. They're one. So, you know, for some people, it's natural to learn to love the brother. And through learning to love the brother, they come to love themselves. For other people, it's more of an inward focus. You learn to love yourself. You find yourself and love yourself. And as you love yourself, you notice that you're naturally loving everyone. And the reason either path works is because ultimately they're the same. Because it's all one. Right? So you can go either way. It's not like one way is right and one way is wrong. And in fact, the Course is more the to love your brother approach, and NTI is more the love yourself approach. But they're the same.
Giving and receiving are the same.
They're the same. Yes, it doesn't matter which direction you go. Yep. Yeah. Sentence 3. Be patient with yourself. In your patience with you, you find patience in me. For we are wrong. For we are one. We are wrong. For we are one. In your patience with you, you find patience in me. For we are one. I was looking at the way that I experience patience now. And it's funny, I don't even know if I would call it patience anymore. I would say that patience has developed into trust, which has even developed beyond trust into knowing. You know, but it probably started with patience. So, you know, many of us, when we're on the spiritual path, we're judging ourselves as, you know, not doing good enough, not practicing enough, not putting forth enough effort, right? We're not doing good enough. And this is saying, this is addressing that state of mind. It's saying, just be patient with yourself. When you're patient with yourself, you're also patient with me, Spirit, because Spirit is actually also doing the work. You know, Spirit is the one that's gonna, you know, enlighten your mind. And so when you're impatient with yourself, you're also impatient with Spirit, right? It's all the same. So be patient with yourself, with what you judge as your failures or your lack of successes. When you're patient with yourself, you're also patient with me. But like I said, what I found is that by practicing that patience with myself, that developed into a trust of the entire process. And then that developed into just a knowing that awakening is happening. Like, I don't even feel like it's trust anymore. I feel like it's knowing. So patience is just the first step. Sentence 5. Honor your brother. In honoring him, you honor me, for we are one. I remember my first year on this spiritual path when I was a Course student and I was doing the Course workbook. I don't remember what lesson I was on, but whatever lesson I was on, it was teaching a similar thought about love your brother. No, I take that back. It was teaching you to love God, I think. And I was contemplating in my mind, how do I love God? Like, I didn't want to just pretend to love God. I wanted to do it, you know, really do it. So I just kind of had this question in my mind, how do I love God? And I was at work, and excuse me, it was at lunch, and I was in the cafeteria getting my lunch, and I was walking out towards the place where we eat, and I'm contemplating, how do I love God? And my eyes landed on this guy that I really didn't like. I mean, I had no respect for this guy whatsoever. He was the laziest guy in the company. And yet he got promoted only, and I think he got promoted because he had some kind of a relationship, a friendly, you know, maybe went back years and years relationship with the vice president. And he was like this lazy, good for nothing guy, and I didn't like him at all. So I'm contemplating, how can I love God? I come out of the cafeteria, my eyes land on him, and I hear, there's one. And I knew there's one meant you love your brother and you're loving God. Right? And that was really an awakening moment for me, an enlightening moment, because I had always thought of God up in the sky, and then there's people, right? And I'd never, in my mind, there had not yet been a relationship between the two. And it, you know, I felt like I could love my brother and hate this guy. I mean, sorry, love God. I could love God and hate this guy because there was no relationship between them. I felt one way about God and another way about this guy. And what that was telling me is that's not true. Because it's all God. You can't love God and dislike your brother, right? It's just not possible. So That's what this is saying. Honor your brother. Yes, sir.
I was listening to an old teaching of yours, and old MP3, and in it there was you were reading a passage about it said it was talking about the Holy Spirit. It said, if even when a brother is terribly confused about what truth and illusion is, the Holy Spirit will wait until that brother turns his heart toward the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I don't know, something about the way you said it or the message in general was that the Holy Spirit absolutely knows the divinity within each of us. And so it's there. And if the Holy Spirit is willing to wait for it, then we darn well can't do the same thing. It's really there.
It's really there, yeah. Yeah. And I've learned to do that. I've learned to honor people right where they're at without asking them to be. I mean, what better way to honor someone than not asking them to be different?
That was the message.
Yeah.
That was it, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, am I truly honoring you, Dave, if I'm saying, I really wish you wouldn't cross your legs. I don't like it when you cross your legs. Am I honoring you or how would you, if I did that and I meant it, how would you feel?
I'd keep my legs crossed.
Would you really? You're a rebellious type, but how would you feel?
I'd probably be saying something in my head that you don't want on that recording.
Yeah, so you wouldn't feel honored.
True.
Right, right. So when we're asking our brothers to be different than they are, we're not honoring them. You honor someone best when you let them be as they are, whatever that is.
And that gives your own heart the greatest freedom as well.
Yeah. All right, so honor your brother, in honoring him you honor me, for we are one. Give your willingness and trust continuously to me. In giving your willingness to me, you give it to the truth that is you and your brother, for we are one. So by giving our willingness and our trust to Spirit, right, we're really giving our willingness and our trust to everything. Because that divinity is in everything, right? And sometimes people say, how can you trust your brother, when you know he's a thief? For example, how can you trust your brother? And you're not trusting the form. You're trusting the divinity to be there. You're trusting the divinity to be there, even if it's not being acted upon right now. You're still trusting it to be there. It is always there, just like your tongue is always there, right? Your brother's divinity is always there, and that's what you're trusting. And, at some point when you get really good at trusting that divinity, you actually become better at, for example, if you were a judge, being able to send someone to jail. I mean, it's amazing. If you're on a jury, being able to declare that someone is guilty. If you're a parent, being able to discipline your child. Because I don't know how to explain it. It's one of those paradoxes.
You know that you can't hurt them?
Well, it's not even that. It's just that before, you were actually acting out of your own guilt and distrust. And so even if you knew, for example, that somebody should be sent to jail, there was a guilt about sending them to jail too, right? Once you know the divinity and you trust all things, and if it's just the writing on the wall, this person should go to jail, you send them to jail without any guilt because you know it's perfect. You just know everything is perfect. So the more that you know that divinity is there, and the more that you know that everyone is going to wake up to that divinity, and the more that you know everything is happening in order to help them wake up to that divinity, the more you can trust every circumstance as well, including, sending someone to jail, if that's what needs to happen. You just trust everything. There's not guilt or confusion in anything anymore. So, So again, as you give willingness to the divine, you give willingness to everything, because everything is the divine. And eventually you'll begin to know everything as the divine. Verses 14 to 16. Now this is a really good one. Enjoy your illusion as a gift to yourself, and hold your brother in your heart as you. But give willingness to see beyond the gift to the giver of the gift, and you give willingness to know and remember you. So what's really interesting is the enjoy your illusion as a gift to yourself part. You know, lots of us, when we discover that this is an illusion, that this is a false self, this was, according to the Course, a tiny mad idea, we start to feel guilty about enjoying this. This is saying, enjoy it. And I will tell you that as you awaken more, that's exactly what you do. I mean, that's just exactly what you do. You enjoy this experience. The experience itself is a miracle. The fact that oneness could experience itself as separate is a miracle. One thing that Adyashanti did say Saturday was that, you know, this is how the divine is able to experience itself. Because, you know, if you think of the divine as being similar to your eyes, right? If you didn't have a mirror, you could never see your eyes. The only way your eyes can know themselves is if there's a mirror to look in, a reflection. Well, that's what the entire world is. The entire world is the reflection. And so it gives the divine the ability to experience itself. But it obviously does that best without ego mucking it up, right? So this is what is called the real world in A Course in Miracles. It's when the ego is no longer in the way, you know, causing false perceptions, but it's still perception. It's still the divine experiencing a reflection of itself. But then that's what it's seen as, and it's enjoyed. It's enjoyed in that way. So go ahead, love this experience. It's really meant to be loved, right? That's, what else would it be for? It's meant to be loved. But at the same time, when you're loving the experience, don't love the experience for what it is, which is becoming attached. So don't love your friend for who she is right now today. Because tomorrow she may change. And if you're loving her for who she is right now today, if you know what I mean, and then tomorrow she changes, you might not be so happy with her anymore. But if you love her because she's divine, and right now this is what divineness looks like, then tomorrow when she changes, she's still divine, but now divineness looks like this, and you still love her, right? She's allowed to change. And you still love her because you weren't attached to the form. You enjoyed the form, but what you really loved was the divine, right? So you enjoy the form, but you look beyond the form also. You don't become attached to the form. Because guess what form does? It always changes, right? So if you love form, you're going to suffer because it's going to change. It's not going to be what you love anymore. Verses 17 to 21. This is the awareness you are to keep as an expression of your willingness to remember with me. The part you know is but a part, referring to the who you think of as yourself. The part you know is but a part of a whole that is the truth of what you are. The parts you see are but a part. This is referring to your brothers now. The parts you see are but a part of the wholeness of love that is me. To love your brother is to love your truth. To care for him is to open your heart to the whole. And when the heart is open, wholeness is welcomed in. And in its welcoming, its truth is remembered. And as I was reading this, I was really reminded of that scripture in the Bible where Jesus says, you know, whatever you do to the lowest of these, you have done to me, right? So as we love our brother, we're really loving the divinity. But we want to keep our minds on that. We don't want to be unclear. And in fact, this is one of the things that I'm starting to offer now to people are service pilgrimages, where like the very first service pilgrimage, we're going to go to India and we're going to work with orphans and deprived children, as they call them. Now, if they're called deprived children in India, you can imagine they're very, very poor, because lots of people are poor in India. It's normal, and these are considered deprived. But when we go there, we don't want to go there and look at them as deprived children. We want to look at their divinity. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to focus on their divinity even while we're doing the volunteer work. You know, and that's what I'm recommending as the spiritual practice on these pilgrimages. You know, it's one thing to sit in our living room in the middle class America and practice spirituality, but I think it will be an entirely different experience to go into, you know, Africa where there's AIDS babies, and, you know, to go into these different places and serve our brothers that are in those situations and still focus on divinity. I think it will be an incredible, incredible spiritual practice. And a true way to honor ourselves and our brothers and God. So, whatever you do to the least of these, you have done to me. We will serve our brothers while remembering their divinity. Blessings to you as you move in the world in willingness, for that is but a symbol of the opening of the mind. An open mind is not closed, so the light that is fullness of truth may be realized. So again, this whole lesson started with Holy Spirit saying, let me move your body. But then knowing that sometimes our mind tries to imagine what Spirit might try and tell us to do, it went ahead and gave some examples of what Spirit's going to do if we surrender. Spirit is going to guide us to love ourselves. Spirit is going to guide us to be patient with ourselves, to honor our brother, to continually give our willingness and trust, to enjoy our experience while focusing on divinity, right? And to remember that everything is one. That's what Spirit's going to do if we surrender. See, that's not too scary, right? That's not too scary. But if we don't surrender, do we remember these things all the time? Absolutely not. So if we learn to practice surrender, you know, you're driving down the car, somebody runs a red light and they hit you. You're not dead, you know. They hit you, but you're capable of getting out of the car and yelling at them for being a dumbass, right? So you're fine. You're going down the street, somebody hits you, boom. If you stop and ask Spirit, what am I to do? Spirit's probably going to have you get out of the car and check on your brother. Are you all right? Right? That's what surrender is like. Where if you're not surrendered, you know, then maybe you're getting out of the car and you're yelling at your brother, you know, what were you thinking? Why weren't you looking? Right? So taking the time to ask within, to be surrendered, asked within, what am I to do? You're going to end up living your life in the way that it's been described here in Romans 12. You're going to be the presence of love in the world. And that's not scary. I'm sure every one of us wants that, or we wouldn't even be here. But it comes about through surrender. So I guess our assignment for the week, and we've had this assignment before, it won't be the first time, but you know, it's nice to practice some things over and over again, is going to be to try to remember surrender. You know, try to remember to ask Spirit, you know, when our website crashes, how am I to see this? You know, try to remember to ask Spirit, you know, when you drop a cup and break it, how am I to see this? Try to remember to ask Spirit, you know, when you find yourself getting frustrated because you think your spiritual practice isn't good enough, how am I to see this, instead of deciding for yourself how to see it. That's what we really want to do this week, because I think we do a whole lot of deciding for ourselves how to see, and we forget to ask Spirit, how should I see this? So we're practicing just that one type of surrender. How am I to see this thing that is happening now in my life, and see if we don't receive some guidance this week that helps us remember to be love. Right? So I'm going to stop the recording now, and we'll have a little bit of silence, and then we'll talk about it.